Good morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. Hurricane Bonnie inaugurated the 1986 season, crashing ashore this morning southwest of Port Arthur, Texas, with winds reaching 85 miles an hour. The storm is now weaker and is being downgraded at this hour to a tropical storm. Dr. Neil Frank, director of the National Hurricane Center in Miami, says Bonnie is a minor storm whose emphasis is now shifting inland from the coast.
The winds and seas on the coast will subside very rapidly today. We're going to get those warnings down in a couple of hours so people can begin to think about returning to normal. And now the whole emphasis will shift over the extreme eastern Texas and western Louisiana on the rainfall. And we'll have to watch carefully to see if there's going to be any flooding potential.
The storm gave a battering to Beaumont, Texas, where Police Sergeant Don Gain is keeping track of damage reports.
We have quite high winds at this point, I would say in the neighborhood of 50 to 75 miles an hour. Our big problem right now in our area, we have a lot of large trees, and we have trees down on power lines on top of houses. We had two to three tornadoes reported that have done considerable damage.
This is Bill Campo of WWL New Orleans in Port Arthur, Texas. Hurricane Bonnie's eye came ashore in sparsely populated areas just west of Port Arthur in Beaumont, Texas. The storm then stalled, so those cities and surrounding towns have felt Bonnie's punch for several hours. In Port Arthur, the wind continues to blow in strong gusts, though they're not as strong as they were some time ago. Sheets of rain, though, are still falling. Trees and power lines are down all over, and thousands of people have no electricity. Some businesses and homes have suffered damage, mainly roof damage, but there's no widespread property damage visible. People here are just glad that Bonnie was a minimal hurricane. Bill Capo for CBS News, Port Arthur, Texas.
In a major foreign policy victory for President Reagan, the House last night voted 221 to 209 to approve $100 million in aid for Nicaraguan rebels. Our coverage begins with correspondent Ike Pappas.
To win the votes needed to pass his contra-aid package, the president again put his personal prestige on the line. Mr. Reagan lobbied to the very last. The president won by a greater-than-expected margin, 12 votes. Representative Ike Skelton, one of the sponsors of the amendment.
The message to Ortega, to the Sandinistas, is that America means what we say.
The president's supporters had to beat back a Democratic plan that would have delayed the military aid for at least 90 days. Democrats said the president was just too persistent. Congressman Michael Barnes, a leading opponent of the president's aid package.
I guess it's fair to say that it's now Ronald Reagan's war. He's gotten everything he asked for.
The Senate must now approve the president's $100 million aid package, but in the past, the Senate has supported Mr. Reagan, and few difficulties are expected from here on in getting the Contras, the guns, bombs, bullets, and even blankets they need to sustain their struggle against the Sandinistas. Ike Pappas, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
This is Hampton Pearson in Santa Barbara. President Reagan begins a short vacation at his California ranch today, celebrating a major foreign policy victory. It was during a stopover in Las Vegas for a political fundraiser that the president got the first indication that a victory was possible.
It's only round one, but oh boy, what a round.
Once the final vote was in, the White House issued a statement on arrival in California, praising the House vote as a step forward in a bipartisan consensus on foreign policy. Hampton Pearson, CBS News, with the president in Santa Barbara.
Nicaragua's President Daniel Ortega was also quick to respond to the House vote, as Mike O'Connor reports from Managua.
People who watched him for years say he seems frightened. But his words were strong. Saying the vote was a ratification of terrorist policies, that it meant the murder of Nicaraguan women and children, that it was a rejection of the attempts by Latin American countries to negotiate the differences between the United States and Nicaragua. He said President Reagan is acting like a new Hitler. Ortega warned Nicaraguans to be ready for more shortages, more sacrifices, saying the U.S. will never be able to defeat the Sandinista revolution. Mike O'Connor, CBS News, Managua.
Foreign ministers of the European community are gathered at the Dutch seat of government for 2 days of debate on the issue of South African sanctions. Tom Fenton is there.
All agree that something must be done to encourage the white regime to negotiate with black leaders. But they are deeply divided over what to do. Britain's Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher, whose country has the greatest stake in South Africa, is leading the fight against economic sanctions. She claims they would hurt the blacks most and favors instead a high-level mission to South Africa. Some of the smaller European countries that do little business with South Africa want to cut all trade ties. For the past 2 weeks, efforts to reach a common position have been unsuccessful. The foreign ministers tried again this morning and failed. It has now been left to the heads of government themselves to argue it out. Tom Fenton, CBS News, The Hague.
There has been an apparent terrorist bombing at the Madrid airport. Dan Raviv in London is collecting details. Dan?
Bill, several people have been injured in an explosion at Madrid's international airport called Barajas. This according to the police there in the Spanish capital. Sources in the police say they believe that a bomb exploded at an airline counter. We don't yet know which airline was involved. The sources said a policeman and several airline passengers were injured. No other details right now. Bill?
Dan Raviv of our London Bureau. Italian officials say one of the Palestinian defendants in the Achille Lauro hijack trial in Genoa apparently tried to hang himself last night in his jail cell. The suspect, identified by the trial judge as Saeed Gandura, reportedly used a bedsheet for a suicide attempt that was foiled by prison guards. The Peruvian news agency says police there have arrested six people for yesterday's bombing of a tourist train in which seven people were killed, including a Texas woman. Investigators said a suitcase bomb was placed in a luggage rack. In Washington State, where the nation's latest cyanide tampering scare has claimed two lives, the familiar gelatin capsules are becoming a thing of the past. Richard Wagner reports.
It took sharp debate in the State Board of Pharmacy, but when it was finished, all over-the-counter, two-piece, hard gelatin capsules were banned from store shelves in the state of Washington. Barbara Vanderkolk of the State Pharmacy Board.
I feel that I would like my family to be protected. I would like all the people in the state to be protected. And it seems to me that the risks are outweighing the benefits of this type of product at this time.
Consumers here in the Pacific Northwest, where this kind of thing has not happened before, are in favor of the move.
When it happened back east, I thought that's back east, but not out in the Northwest. Scary.
At stake are millions of dollars in sales of over-the-counter medications. Small change when human lives are at risk. Richard Wagner, CBS News, Seattle.
Nevada federal judge Harry Claiborne refused to give up his $78,000 lifetime job when he went to prison for tax evasion. So today the House Judiciary Committee is expected to vote four articles of impeachment aimed at stripping the jailbird judge of his title and paycheck. The dollar is on the upswing in European trading today. Gold was off 20 cents, and the Dow Industrials are down nearly 3.5. It's 7:10.